Hi, this is Chip Hanna from Upper Edge, and this is the third and final podcast related to our webinar, Defining Your SAP Cloud Strategy, where we talk about three different case studies, three different clients we've supported as it relates to their journey from ECC to S/4HANA in the cloud. And our final case study is really focused on hyperscaler optimization. And if you recall, the different models that we talked about as far as moving from ECC on-prem to S/4 in the cloud, this is the do-it-yourself model, to where you move your SAP hosting services, your infrastructure services, and your infrastructure into the cloud. Unlike the other models of RISE or leveraging a third party to do the application management and the infrastructure management, this is really focused on letting the customer make their own decisions, driving the strategy, with the exception of leveraging a hyperscaler to manage the application that sit on top solely related to that infrastructure services itself. So a little bit about who this customer is. They were an existing ECC perpetual customer. They had some existing hyperscaler relationships in different pockets of their organization. They did have a bit of SAP on the hyperscaler, but it was self-maintained. Now, within the construct of that, they found that particular construct to be very appropriate for them. It was manageable and it was scalable. Unlike some other customers who either didn't have the in-house expertise, didn't want to develop the in-house expertise, they had it, and they believed that they were best positioned to move their organizational forward on a hyperscaler which was managed by themselves. So really what they found out was, and this is where it's a nuance that we see with customers all the time, is that they're going to have the hyperscaler strategy drive a lot of their decision-making as it relates to the end state of all their critical platforms. And in this case, SAP was part of that. So again, that what they were going to do is they were going to take their own resources and they were going to manage the application related to the SAP application stack itself, the SAP basis services, and the SAP basis services associated with the infrastructure, and manage that with their own internal resources. And again, they were going to, so all they would have to do really is have a single agreement with the hyperscalers, so they would be able to kind of lift and shift their SAP on-premise relationship and their existing cloud relationships into a single instance on the hyperscaler. And really, there are a couple different reasons that drove this decision. First, as I mentioned before, they had existing hyperscaler presence in different pockets of the organization, but they had some very strong executive relationships with a single hyperscaler. And so they were able to clearly align the objectives of both organizations, the hyperscaler and the customer, to align on what that future state looked like for them on the hyperscaler for their entire business. So in this case, the hyperscaler decision really wagged the dog as it relates to how the rest of their application stack, how their application strategy looked. So that tail of choosing that single hyperscaler made a lot of material changes as it relates to their overall strategy, which was done intentionally. So it's important to understand, as you look into these relationships and you look at how they can leverage these discussions with the hyperscaler, is to know what is the art of possible. So when you're sitting with your hyperscaler and you're informed by what the hyperscaler can do, the benefits that can accrue to you as it relates to making a decision to leverage a single hyperscaler, to be informed by what's possible commercially and contractually by leveraging a third party like Upper Edge. When you make these sorts of decisions, to set yourself up not only for your current state, but also your future state. So to the extent you can, future-proof your hyperscaler relationship so it can stand the test of time, not only as it relates to just the passage of time, but as you ebb and flow your requirements, your demand, either up or down, depending on your business. The second driver that led them down this path of the do-it-yourself model is that there was limited risk to their S4 application stack. So moving from ECC to S4, there wasn't a lot of major technology platform changes that needed to be made from an application perspective to move them from the ECC flavor of SAP to S4. It was a relatively straightforward transformation, a relatively straightforward upgrade, if you will, or migration from ECC to S4. So there weren't a lot of moving pieces, changes, and challenges as it relates to making that change from their existing SAP application stack at their current hyperscaler in different areas where they had it deployed into a single hyperscaler that was being managed by a single vendor. Finally, they had a high degree of internal competence within their SAP skill sets within their own organization. So they didn't need to hire new people. They had the people internally who could manage the shift as well as the go forward kind of care and feeding and growth over time. So with all that being said, it made the most sense for them to continue to manage the applications for SAP, the application stack of the hosting services, the infrastructure services, and then to take all that consolidated demand and sit that on a single hyperscaler relationship based on the overall strategy and where they're going as an organization with that hyperscaler. Well, I hope you found this podcast helpful. Please check us out at upreg.com, where we have some additional material related to hyperscalers, SAP S4, your S4 journey, as well as our overall thoughts and our ability to support you thinking about RISE and these other service offerings.